So today we're going to shine a very large spotlight on my husband, John Sumple, to get his thoughts around some pointed long-term travel and work from anywhere questions. It is interview time.
Ooh, John in the hot seat.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Welcome to episode 35 of From Someplace New. I'm John Sumple.
And I'm Karen Bernhardt.
Yay, Karen Bernhardt.
Yay.
John Sumple.
So much yay.
There's so much yay in this room right now. Can you feel the yay? Can you feel the yay? Can you feel the yay tonight?
Okay, weird.
Okay,
that is weird. Do you see that it's getting dark?
It is dark, yeah.
And it's not even 5 o'clock.
Yeah, clocks changed here this past weekend, so...
So
dark at 4:30.
Yeah, it's happening.
So here we go. Yeah.
Okay. Any updates, John?
Well, before we get into that, this episode is, I have no idea what it's going to be. You're going to ask me questions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to attempt to answer them to the best of my knowledge and abilities.
Yeah. It's a handful of burning questions that I have and that maybe our audience has as well. And we're going to get your specific answers and thoughts around these questions.
As you used to say when we first started doing this podcast, who cares what we have to say?
Right. I did.
But you've gained a lot of confidence in that.
You know, it's a good thing. Episode by episode, I'm finding my groove, feeling more comfortable with this. The introvert is pushing herself.
Is that why you're wearing sunglasses now when we record these?
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. So before we jump into this grilling session, this, you know, I have really no idea what she's going to ask me. And I'm really excited to hear what the missus has to say.
Yeah, I think you're going to do great.
She's going to bring the heat.
No, but you know what? Nothing rattles you. So you'll be just fine with all of it.
Before we get into that, though, what's the best thing that happened to you last week?
Okay, I have two things. Number one, I got out every single day this past week for little walks and maybe a tiny bit of shopping, but let's focus on the walks. And it's been fall weather, so very, very pretty, crisp. And some of the days were a little bit on the rainier side, but other days cool and crisp, clear, and just appreciating the history and the beauty of Edinburgh. And during the fall, everything just seems that much more interesting, just with the leaves and all of that. Second thing is I got confirmation that my ballot was counted. Good. Yeah. And I think you did the week before, right, John?
I was a little like 3 weeks ahead of you there on that sport.
Ooh, ouch. Again.
In a good mood. In a good mood. I get to answer some questions.
Nice. So, John, what was the most amazing, scintillating thing that happened to you this past week?
Well, you could attest to the fact that I'm not a very material person, that I don't go out of my way to like shop, unlike
somebody else here makes up for that 100-fold.
But I went out and I rewarded myself with a pair of boots.
And they're not just any old boots. These are very special boots.
These are Red Wing Iron Ranger boots. Ooh. And if anybody is a boot fan, they might know that Red Wing is kind of top of the line. I did some research and it's weird because this all started in watching a comedy special on Netflix with Marc Maron, who was wearing a pair of boots. And I was like, oh, those are really cool. I've always wanted to get a pair of boots. So I was inspired by what I saw in the video.
And thus the deep dive research ensued.
About an hour worth of research. But what I learned along the way by looking, you know, I did a search about what were the boots that Marc Maron was wearing in his Netflix comedy special. And lo and behold, there was tons of responses. And apparently Maron is a huge boot fan. I did not know that. Numerous pairs of boots. And he highly recommended certain makers and pairs that he owned, that styles that he owned. And he, you know, just through either him, through tweets that he had sent around and through comments that other people had asked and he responded to. So I kind of looked at some places that were much more on the custom side. So there was a place in Spokane, Washington, White's, and there was another place of a guy who did custom boots in Los Angeles that were like $1,100, $1,200 for custom boots. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not that important. So I opted to go to a resource that I was shocked to see was sold in the UK, which was Red Wing. So I got myself a pair of boots.
And they are gorgeous boots, I must say. But they're an interesting type of boot because you have to break them in. They're not like a, you know, pull off the shelf sneaker that's comfortable from day one.
No, and that's the reason why.
You have to put a little time and attention into them. But once you do, they fit your foot like a glove. And there's no reason why you shouldn't own these boots for forever.
Right. So that's why I got the mink oil. And I spent a
this
good...
This is the longest, the best thing happened, the best thing happened. Okay, on today's episode, we're
the
going
to, talk, to
talk about John's new boots.
No, but okay, I get the mink oil, and anybody who's familiar with baseball gloves and breaking in a baseball glove, I have done that numerous times in my life as a baseball player, as a child. And I got the oil, worked the glove. Always, I would sit around while I was watching TV and kind of work the glove. I did the exact same thing with the boots
the other night. Right.
And you kept looking over at me like, why is John, you know, massaging his boots for 2 hours?
Those boots were getting a lot of attention.
They got more attention than you did.
they sure did. Those are some happy, happy boots.
They are. And right now, my boots are in the freezer.
Yeah, this just goes on and on.
Say
again,
what, John?
Folks, this will be the special boot episode. This
so
will
the
be...
boots are in the freezer because the shop owner that we got them at said, good tip, fill up some Ziploc bags with water, put them inside the foot of the shoe, inside of the cavity of the shoe, and put them in the freezer for a couple of days, and the ice expansion will help stretch out the boot. And he said it will basically reduce your break-in time by about a month. Pretty cool.
All right. So stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned next week for John's Life with Boots.
Boot update. UK boot update. Okay.
So really quickly on the COVID front, it's pretty much the same as last week, but it's getting worse. We're expecting to have announced later this week that there's going to be a new series of tiers announced from level 1 to level 5. And we'll find out what level we're in, 5 being shut down, 1 being, you know, be smart.
What are we at right now?
I think we're at 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
Yeah. Stay tuned on that. And that will affect, obviously, what we do and how much we're able to do in the coming weeks and months. And we have some decisions to make regarding
where
a potential new location. Yeah.
So we've been thinking about staying put.
Yeah.
We've been thinking about going to Italy. We've been thinking about going to a Caribbean island to be in the sun away from everything, which is kind of a long shot. But boy, wouldn't that be nice to be in some warm water and not around infected people. So,
yeah. Who knows? Okay, that sounds nice.
But if
we
do the Italy thing, it'll be via train. So we'll do like a...
Yeah, which that part would be very cool.
Three-segment train ride. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are we ready?
No decisions made yet. Okay, yes, we
are.
So hold on. Let me turn the spotlight way up. Okay, it's super high.
Is it Leo high?
it's so Leo centric right now.
Okay.
Okay. This you love this, don't you?
It's fun.
Okay, we're gonna get right into it with the first few questions are going to be more general travel, moving into long term travel related, and then the next set of questions will be remote working, work from anywhere type queries, if you will.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay, John, what was your first international trip and what were the highlights of that first international trip?
I believe it was to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Well, isn't that a coinky dink?
I was in college. I was 19 years old. It was with a May option group that was Florida Southern College, where I went to school. Had a May option where they sent about 80 students over to Harlaxton Manor, Harlaxton University, outside of London. And my professor, Rick Wilbur, said he wanted to do a separate group and take about, I think it was 9 of us, up to Edinburgh and to explore Scotland, which was awesome. And the reason why it was so awesome was because as soon as we broke away from the 80 or so people that were going to have 2 classes a day for a couple of hours, Rick told us we will not have any organized classes at all. We'll meet once a week. You'll learn more by going out and exploring on your own than you ever would sitting in a classroom.
Oh, very progressive.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So 19-year-old John ran around Edinburgh and Scotland for a month.
Oh, very cool. And here you are now.
And here I am now, a full circle back.
Isn't that interesting? Like if somebody had told you as a college student that you will be back here in the capacity that we are, you'd be like, that doesn't even make any sense. How would that work?
Yeah, with the mentality back then, I would have been like, yeah, there'd be no reason for me to go back there.
Yeah, that just sounds strange.
The world was so big back then, and now it seems so small because travel and access to information and, you know, Facebook, and you're connected to everybody everywhere.
Yeah, life has been interesting that way. Okay, next question. When did you realize travel was important to you?
Well, I remember summer vacations as a kid going away, and I wanted to go more frequently. And one of the things that a lot of my friends over break would go on like week or 2 week long trips. And we did that a couple of times, but my parents said that they would prefer to do numerous longer trips. So every summer we would do like two or three day trips, sometimes a 4-dayer. So there was a lot of, you know, journeying in New England when I was a child that I really enjoyed that. And at the time, going from Connecticut to Maine or Connecticut to New Hampshire, Connecticut to New York was a big deal, not knowing how really big the rest of the world was. So, yeah, that was. And then the first big trip that I did was I think I was 10 years old and flew to St. Petersburg to meet with my aunt, and we stayed at Disney World. And this was back in 1973.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was the big trip. And that was the first time my mom had ever flown, was when I was 10. So she was in her late 30s at the time.
Right.
Mid to late 30s at the time. And my grandmother, I think a year before that, flew for the very first time at age 73 or 74. So back then, flying was not a big deal. It was a luxury or a business item. And now people fly all over the world, don't think twice about it.
Or now they do. They do think twice about it now.
At this very moment,
because of the COVID pandemic, but normally not.
But I would say, you know, since then, but, you know, after the trip to Scotland really was kind of like the international. And it was more a matter from that point on is, well, what are other countries like, both from a geographical perspective as well as cultural?
Did you have a sense that I want more of this? Like, I want this in my life, however that might play out?
There was this sense of adventure and curiosity, but I didn't have the means to think that that was something that I could do.
That's interesting because the kind of a part B to this question was what makes you wired for travel, or what about you orients you toward wanting to explore new territory?
I think anybody that knows me, has spent time with me, would say that, well, John always wants to find something new. He's always ready to learn something else. So even though he's present in the moment and enjoying that, he also is thinking in the back of his mind about what's next. You know, what else is out there? What don't I know that I need to know? And so this curiosity of always trying to learn and expose myself to new ideas definitely translates into travel.
That makes sense. That's what I was thinking you would go with.
Wow, you know each other so well.
The curiosity aspect. Yes, we've learned a few things about each other. Okay, now we're going to shift a little bit.
Ooh.
Where have we been in our travels? And I'm thinking, let's do since we've left Seattle, so our long-term travels since, you know, August 2018. Where have we been in our travels that you most want to return or would be most interested in returning to?
Well, there's two answers to that. First, it's the unfinished business one, because we did not get to do what we wanted to do in Argentina. Everything was cut short. And there was a lot more that we were going to do in South America, another year and a half worth of doing in South America.
Significant amount of time that we had a trajectory planned.
So there's a part of me that wants to get back there to conclude the unfinished business.
Close that loop, if you will.
But I would say as of right now, this moment in time, based on what we've seen, I would go back to Peru in a heartbeat. I loved Peru. I would like to explore more of Peru. I would like to go deep into the jungles and look for more of the Incan ruins. There's a couple of, you know, 3 and 4 day journeys that take you deep into the jungle. And with my guide Victor by my side, I think I would have
and
a lot of fun.
JC.
And JC, Juan Carlos, for sure. Yeah, those guys made our travel through the Sacred Valley magical. And I think that they brought so much experience and knowledge, cultural knowledge, because they are both of Incan descent. So we learned so much from them. And I would love to go back and continue that learning.
Yeah, I've said before when we talked about this that I think I'll cry when we go back to Peru. And, you know, when we first, like, I don't know, like take the cab or the Uber drive and start seeing things again and just realizing like we've returned to this mm-hmm. magical country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
And it's a big part of it for me, and I know for you, was the people that we met, especially mm-hmm. during our time in Cusco, was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Lima too. Special. Lima was cool. Mm-hmm. Both liked Lima.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving around the world as we are with these questions, has your bucket list of potential locations changed in recent years and why?
No, I mean, even when we first started talking about this very early on, when we were having the review of where would we go, I even jokingly said to you, I would be content with throwing a dart at a map and going wherever the dart landed. So there is that curiosity of wanting to see as much as we possibly can. So Antarctica is on the list. Greenland is on the list, places where people don't necessarily say, hey, I want to go there.
And were these always on your list?
No, this is now more, you know, from before, I would say, you know, it was always about, you know, go to Europe.
Australia.
Those were kind of like the two big ones for me. But now, unless there's civil unrest or, you know, potential for, you know, physical harm by going into a country, those would be the only reasons why I probably wouldn't go in there. Although we did go to Santiago, Chile during their civil unrest period. So didn't stop us then.
Yeah. Tumultuous time there.
But it was enlightening.
Yeah.
Because
sure
we talked to people from both sides of the equation and, you know, learned a lot about the culture.
So basically, there's, like you said, unless an area was very unsafe or not very unpleasant to visit, there's really nothing that you would rule out as far as.
I think that we're not the 20-something backpackers.
No,
that,
we're not high adventure seekers.
Well, it's not so much about the adventure, but we're not going to hitchhike, you know, 700 miles through the Gobi Desert to get somewhere or... You know, be in a region where if you, you know, don't know the different tribal customs that you could get in trouble. So those are things that, you know, we're not going to be exploring. But when it comes to, hey, that is a place that looks interesting, whether it's something that somebody shares with us or something that we talk with somebody about or we see an image about, those are the type of things that you just keep adding to the list of, yeah, I want to check this out. I want to see this too. So I think we got a good, healthy 20 years of traveling like this.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, that we can remain vital. And
but if we stayed in one place for 3 months here, that's 4 locations a year.
Yeah, it comes around
so
quick.
So 10 years, that's 40 countries. Mm-hmm. That's not 20 years, that's 80 countries. There's 195 countries in the world.
Okay, so once all the restrictions lift, we need to travel every 2 weeks to a new country. Okay, right. Get ready, everyone. Things are going to go really fast now. Okay. Well, now I'm going to move into a more timely topic, and we're going to address some of the issues that are going on, which you referenced it just now, but COVID. What is the one way you've most adapted your travel mindset during these challenging COVID times
I guess this is a response that won't surprise you too much, is that I really haven't.
Because you haven't adapted.
I don't feel that I have, because I'm a go with the flow type person anyway. And I'm not going to let something, you know, I look at it, this is the reality of the situation. There's nothing I can do about it.
Always,
since I can't control
it,
then I'm just going to go with the flow. And I've always been that way. So I'm not one that's going to plan way ahead. I'm not going to, you know, put markers down and checklists and things of that nature. There's a lot of serendipitous and spontaneous thinking that goes on with what we're doing. All the way, as we've shared in the past, that we'll say, hey, let's take a train to Inverness. And when we get there, say, what do you want to do? And then we go and rent a car at an airport and get the airport counter guy to tell us some ideas. And then off we go. So
the modifications haven't been frustrating to you. It's just
I don't even see them as modifications. They're
just
adjustments that you make based on what you can and can't control. And if I can't control the outside situation, I'm not going to try.
That's healthy. Yeah. And I would say being very resourceful. And we quickly moved into, well, and this is more your personality, solution oriented. Like this is the current, you know, state of affairs. And here are the parameters. How can we make this work, continue to work within those parameters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I would say also with that is that I don't feel boxed in. I don't feel so for example, when we were in Bariloche for 4.5 months in a small apartment, I was okay with it. You were banging your head against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something, you know, and I looked at that as, well, there's time for me to kind of, yeah. Initially, the first like 2 months, all of a sudden I had some client work that fell off that I wouldn't be able to do. And I looked at it as, you know what, I'm just going to step back, take a breather, recharge. There's not much I can do. And it was great. Those first few months, it was just kind of like me time. And I read the things that I wanted to read and I learned the things that I wanted to learn. I watched what I wanted to watch. So there was a lot of, you know, stimulation.
Yeah,
that I
that's
was
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, so and not fighting it. Not
no,
fighting
and because
the
when we've
context.
Been traveling, we've talked about this before, is that we used to be consumers of entertainment, TV and videos and movies. And
yeah, we could while away the hours
going to the
watching
films
things
yeah, all yeah. the time, but we don't anymore.
No.
And the reason why is our location becomes our entertainment. And therefore, we're out exploring that most of the time. And when we come home, we really are not thinking about, okay, now let's sit down and consume, you know, mindless TV. We just don't do it anymore. So I kind of look at it as when you're forced into those situations, you can kind of maybe catch up or explore the things that you weren't exploring while you were going out entertaining.
Well, I think that will segue nicely into the last question with the long-term travel portion of this interview.
Okay.
And that is, how has long-term travel changed you?
And the biggest change I would say is that I don't want to stop it. You know, whereas before I did have that mindset of a vacation is a vacation, and you and I choosing to live in Seattle, which was a very expensive city to live in, realized that that was our choice. Therefore, our budget was funneled towards living in the city. And I think in the 10 years that we lived there, we only went on like one true vacation, which was to Italy. So we didn't do a lot of that. But now that I've been out and moving around, I could never see myself being sedentary in one location for definitely not a year, for sure. I couldn't see living in one place for a year unless I had to, you know, health or financial related reasons. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that I love traveling and I don't want to stop, and I look forward to doing it every day.
Nice. Okay. Very nice, John. Now, would you like to take a break? Do you need a glass of water? Maybe use the bathroom?
No, this is too easy. You got any zingers?
Oh, yeah. Zingers?
Any
well,
hard ones?
I know, I could dig deeper with any one of these, because part of what I wanted to do with the change question was, like, as far as change, like how does John Sumple look and behave now, 2+ years into this long-term travel lifestyle, versus before we embarked on this?
I live in a global bubble now, not in a, you know, national or regional or state or city bubble. So I look at that. I look at the world differently than I did. I think it's more a matter of, I am a part of the planet, not the part of a country, a state, a region, a city. I look at it as like, I'm a part of all of this. I'm a global citizen. I am of the earth, of the planet, not of a specific country. And as a result of having that type of mentality, I look forward to the exploration of my bubble. And my bubble is much larger than it used to be. And that's something that I find very interesting. So we've been to Mexico, South America, and now Scotland. That's just a fraction. There's
right.
so much that yeah. I have not seen.
Scratch the surface, yep.
And there's so many things we haven't experienced. We haven't experienced a tremendous amount of discomfort. And I think that when we get such
although
as...
Although I would say definitely more discomfort in South America and different environments we were in versus this is cushy, easy, what we're doing right now.
The only discomfort that I ever felt really was the language, and I knew enough to get by. So culturally, I didn't feel like we were fish out of water, and that we were, it was just like we were on the cutting edge of learning about something. We weren't put into some remote area of, you know, some islands in the South Pacific with a headhunter tribe that you know, ate off the land.
I think there was a movie about this.
But
okay.
But like just having that ability to do something that is way out of your comfort zone. We really haven't done that yet, but I think
that's something. And you want to?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to do that.
Okay.
Sure.
So you want the ultimate travel challenges still.
I don't want to go, like I said, I don't want to go, you know, hitchhiking across the continent. That's not something that is in my...
Do you want to bungee jump off of a bridge in New Zealand?
Sure. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. We'll look into that. Okay.
That's the, what about, is there an extreme for you? Is there like a, is there
what
a
you
limit?
Described as far as, you know, being on a remote South Pacific island with the threat of,
headhunter tribes, headhunter putting you in a cauldron natives. Of boiling water.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a Bugs Bunny episode.
Or Gilligan's Island a little bit.
Yeah, a little Gilligan.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about this, though, that we don't ever want to get too comfortable. And that's what I being here in Europe and everything is just so lovely and civilized and comfortable and so familiar in a way mm-hmm. here, even though you're in a different country and there are obviously different traditions and lots of nuances, but overall living here feels easy. Well,
when you're in a country that speaks your native language, it's
right
easier.
Off the bat.
It's
yeah.
much easier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things and aha moments, and you can even enjoy the accents of the different English speaking from Scotland.
Scottish you know,
there's accents. Dozens, if not hundreds of different variations on the English-Scottish brogue. So we've heard quite a few of them. But, you know, that to me is quaint and fun and enjoyable, but it's not, we're not pushing the envelope by any means. We're enjoying this. There's a lot to see. We're experiencing sights for sure. You know, we are both visually driven. We love to go on drives. We love to walk around without necessarily saying, oh, there's a destination there. You know, we could spend an entire day just roaming around a city.
So it's still very stimulating and feeding our wanderlust, but it's not pushing us and stretching us in new directions, which is something that we always want to be happening with our travel. So, but many more chapters to be written with this. So, alrighty then. So that covers what I wanted to ask you on the long-term travel side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to touch on some topics around remote working.
Okay. I didn't know
what
there
we're
was
doing.
More.
Yeah. So it's kind of the second part this long-term onward travel work from anywhere lifestyle.
Okay.
Right. The mouthful, but that's what we're doing. That's what our life is. So John, what do you like most about working on the road? Or like I said, from anywhere, working from anywhere, what do you like most about doing this?
Well, the flexibility. I think a lot of that is about, okay, not only am I working from home, I can work from a coffee shop. I can go to different coffee shops. I'm not going to the same Starbucks or the same local, you know, like when we lived in Seattle, we kind of rotated through two or three, maybe four. And every once in a while, we'd look for something that was a little bit different and go to that. But yeah, it's more about the exploration. It's more about when we do go to a new city, finding the different places that we can work. Right now, we're basically working from home and going out on the weekends. But yeah, it's that sense of there's always something new around the corner. And it makes it for a less boring work environment when you're going to different places and exploring different cities and, you know, even sitting down and having coffee and working in a different environment.
And is there anything you don't like about remote work and doing this?
Yeah.
Anything that you find challenging or not a big fan of?
Well, being spoiled living in Seattle, which is a high-tech city, no matter where you went, the Wi-Fi was great. You know, 150, you know, megabytes per second was the norm. Since we've been traveling, it's been all over the place. You know, sometimes some areas, the best we were going to get, we're going to peak out at 5. And every once in a while, we'd get one that was in 15. And if we stayed at a hotel that had, you know, 30, that was like, you know, cause for celebration. But there have been certain cities that had better Wi-Fi. But that's the biggest challenge is we could go to a cafe and the Wi-Fi is fine one day and the next day it's not working. And
John tears his hair out and gets super stressed.
Well, the one place that we stayed in Quito, when we got there, I had talked to them ahead of time about upgrading the Wi-Fi. And the person had told us that it was between 5 and 10. But the reality is when we got there, it was between 2 and 3. So I said, is there anything we can do? Kind of promised that it was going to be a little bit higher. And he said, no, we'll do something about it. It was a state-owned Wi-Fi provider, or it was a state-owned internet provider. And for the entire month we were there, it never got upgraded. So we had issues throughout that.
That was problematic.
Yeah. It wasn't off, but it was inconsistent. And there's been a couple of places where, for whatever reason, when we were in Mendoza, it seemed like every night at 10 after 11, the Wi-Fi would get really wonky and slow way down or completely cut out.
So very would you strange. Say your meditation practice is helping you deal with stressors like that?
My meditation practice consists of being present.
Oh, well, that's mindfulness. That's part of it.
It is. You know, I consider myself a very easygoing person.
You have your moments.
Yeah, but I can attenuate very quickly.
Attenuate, yes.
I'm not one that's going to be stewing for very long at all.
You don't hold on to frustrations or negative emotions. You kind of fan out and then move on.
Yeah, I might get upset, but that doesn't last more than, you know, necessary. I don't look at it as like, well, I'm going to brood all day over the fact that the Wi-Fi is not working. It's more a matter of I can't do anything about it.
Right, right.
That's been my mantra about anything and adjusting to anything as we've been traveling. If I can't control it, there's nothing I can do.
That's excellent insight right there. That goes with, right? That's true of anything in our lives.
And
especially when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this might fall right into this nicely then. What is the best advice you would have for someone considering a similar path?
Well, the first thing that I would say is don't analyze your scenario to death. Because you will adapt, you will figure things out as you go. You don't need all the answers before you leave.
That's so true.
You will learn so much in the process of preparing to go. And you'll feel like, wow, I've learned so much. And then when you leave, you'll find out over the course of the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, I've learned so much more than before I left.
As it unfolds.
So you're never to the point where you're like, I got this.
Right.
You are always learning. So just be prepared to always learn and know that no matter what situation you put yourself into, you're going to adapt to it because you have no choice. You know, you're in that moment, be in that moment, you know, and if you go someplace and your Airbnb is not ready, ask if you can drop off your bags and wander around for a little bit. We've done that a few times. There's always an opportunity to say, well, if I can't do what I expected to do, and I can't control the scenario, what's my reaction to that? What can I do, you know, in the meantime?
And that's all we have control of is our reaction and pivot, right?
Yeah, like lots of pivots.
Lots of little pivots, medium-sized pivots. But I would hope that most people that are considering doing this and that think they are wired to doing this have some of these skills and some of these, you know, some of this mindset anyway. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, already part of their makeup. So you will just ramp that up while you're doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All righty then. How you doing? Still good?
Yeah, I'm good.
No water, nothing. Wow, you're a trooper. Okay. So with this question, if you could go back to the let's say the months and maybe the year as we were planning to do this, to set off on this lifestyle and do anything differently, what would it be?
I don't think I would do anything differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were still working, so we had to, you know, do our work. We were planning, you know, what we needed to plan. We got to where we needed to be for the first leg. And then everything after that was, okay, what's next? So we were responding to that. So it was more to me about having that initial discussion where we were both in alignment that this was something that we could do. So it wasn't a challenge in the sense of, oh God, I got to convince Karen that she needs to do this. It was more a matter of what makes the most sense for us to launch this with. And for us, we were fortunate enough that we both were employed. We were both making money. We were living in a city with a high cost of living that was eating up a good portion of our fixed expenses that were consuming most of our income. So it was more a matter of planning to explore and get excited about that idea that we weren't going to be locked in. So it really became about budget for me. That was kind of a driver.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a testament to the fact that we did enough preliminary planning and things unfolded in a way that we were able to, you know, just build upon.
We planned the essentials, though, but we didn't overplan anything. We didn't get consumed by, oh, is this the right place to go?
Right. We didn't get hyper focused on any one thing.
I think there was a balance because I'm more of a
big
throw the dartboard and where do we go? And you're like, I have to feel comfortable. So that's the reason why we did the scouting trip initially, because you wanted to make sure that being a fish out of water, you know, in unfamiliar confines was going to be something that was doable for you.
Yeah, I'm just so surrounding oriented. So right. Everything I do, whether it's, you know, turning down the street or what the Airbnb is or going into this restaurant or just, it's just an energy thing. It's a vibe thing. So for me, anytime I get like comfort or confirmation in any sort of capacity with that, I'm golden.
Right. And there is a tendency, I think, for, you know, even though we've been traveling, we've gone to so many different places in every city that we visited, there is something to be said for finding a place that's your own. So like when we were in San Miguel, we talked about Kibak. We were in San Miguel for 2 months, and I think we went to Kibak at least 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's carving out familiarity mm-hmm. amongst all of the changes. Right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's healthy. It creates a nice little balance. There were so many nights where we would say, well, we could go to a new restaurant or what about, you know,
but a part
this
of that
place?
Too was,
and it's like, oh, I love that place. And I love the way it feels there. Let's go there.
But a part of that, too, is with our first apartment in San Miguel, it was about a mile away from Kibak. So the journey over there was always interesting because
yeah,
there were
daily walks.
Yeah, we would go different ways sometimes and take, you know, different streets just to say, okay, let's go a different way, find a different path. And there was just so much to see. I think really what I learned as a result of doing that was how much did I not see of the locations that I've lived in the past because of that routine of going from A to Z. And I consider myself a where does that road go kind of guy, and I'm willing to travel that way.
You are literally and figuratively that way. Yeah.
But there's, when I look back, it's like, did I do as much as I could have when I was in Seattle, when I was in South Florida? What are the things that I could have done that I didn't do and that I should have made more, you know, space in my day and schedule to challenge myself? And I feel like
having a traveler's mindset when you weren't traveling. In a way. Yeah.
And I that's the one thing I would say, you know, you asked earlier about if I could have changed anything, would be having a traveler's mindset. We talked about that a few episodes ago, is that the traveler's mindset is not about traveling the world. It could be about traveling your hometown and just looking for something new and different in the wonder that's in the area that's right before you, because you can't explore your surroundings on a limited budget. Instead of exploring the world, you know, you can do it. And I would encourage people that are saying, oh, I wish I could be doing what you're doing. Well, ratchet it down to a scale of what you can do. But I would also encourage people to think about how you can do it. And if you're in a job that doesn't allow you to work remotely, create one that will. And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people doing that.
We've explored this quite a bit on the podcast. Yeah.
And we've been,
it's kind of why we're here. We feel like we want to really, yeah, beat that drum.
Yeah. And over the last month or two, we had some people reach out to us who said they want to do this too. So, you know, initially when we started doing the podcast, it was kind of more about, well, let's just document our journey. And at some point we'll figure out what this is going to lead to. And really what it's led to is people are excited about what we're doing. They have the opportunity during COVID times to plan for potentially doing something like this when things get back to normal.
Don't say it.
When whatever happens next happens, mm-hmm. type of thing. But there are a lot of people with pent up demand to get into life a little bit more than they have in the past. And if we can encourage people to do that, let's do it.
Excellent. And so for the final question.
Hit me.
What is the single greatest reward in your mind of this lifestyle?
I don't know if I would say it's a reward as much as it is a mindset, is that it's not ending. So therefore, because it's not ending, I don't have this mentality of, okay, I only have one more day. I only have one more week. I only have two more, whatever the window of time is, it is open-ended. So
I agree
there
with
is that sense of, okay, the what's next is not going backwards. The what's next is always moving forward.
You never feel stuck.
And I feel that whenever you're moving forward,
like it's ending and now we're sad because it's ending.
Yeah, I always feel that when you have that mentality of moving forward, you're always in a place of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of people. I used to be criticized or judged maybe by friends going back 20 years ago who would be like, well, John always moves on to something else, whether it's an activity or a friends group. And it's not about being restless. It's about, I've learned a lot here. There's more to learn. I could either go and explore other things and learn new things, or I could just stay in this little circle and be cool with being in that little circle. And I never left that circle. I never, you know, completely removed myself from it. I just didn't stay in it, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So that happened to me when I was in high school. It happened to me when I was in college. It happened to me, you know, in my first job out of college. And people would be like, well, you know, John's not hanging out with us anymore. I was like, well, because John's doing something different.
Because John's moving to Australia.
Because John's checking shit out.
He's got big, big plans. Come on now. I'm going to get what I want.
John's on the run.
Yeah, no, that's so true, though. Just that sense of that there's always something more around the corner. And it just, you're so fed by that when you're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, yeah.
There's I would no say boredom. That
you're never bored.
I was, there was some hesitation when we were doing this that you would
eventually
get to the point of like, you know,
wrap it up.
I'm good.
Like, we're good.
This has been great. I've loved every second of it,
way.
But I need my nest. And you haven't even.
I create little pockets of nests along the way, some of it unintentional with what's been going on with COVID. And that's been interesting how that's played into that. But no, in general, I just love the idea that we're going to journey into some new place and it's all going to be fresh and different. And what's that going to look like and feel like? And
right.
What will we gain from that? It's just, it's so, I've used this phrase a lot, but it's endlessly stimulating what we're doing.
Yeah. So if there's anybody out there thinking about like, oh, I would be nervous or, oh, I would be afraid that I'd be giving this up or, oh, I don't know if I could ever, you know, give up my wardrobe or if I would, you know, be okay with living in somebody else's home. You're not going to know that until you put yourself into that situation and you very well may be surprised by how you respond.
That's right.
Because I think you are an example of that because you have looked at it as, and you've said this several different times as we talked about things of this nature, it's been so freeing for you to give up that, I don't want to say tenseness, but the space in your brain that you used to occupy for things that at the end of the day really didn't matter and wound up kind of, you know, becoming a bigger deal than they needed to be. And once you allowed that to slip away because you reprioritize and you're like, you know what? I can take a bigger bite out of life by not having that, you know, weighing over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what could be yours.
Could be anyone's. Yeah.
On a similar journey. Of course, everyone's path is going to be a little bit different, but we hope to just give some guidance on what, you know, kind of a baseline of what this could be and just how great it can be.
Yeah. We're pondering some things that we can do to kind of help people on this journey that are potentially, you know, thinking about it. So if you are thinking about it, reach out to us. Drop us a line on Instagram or on Facebook. We'd be more than happy to engage with anybody, you know, about questions they may have or timetables or locations that might be, you know, better than others based on where we've been. And we can definitely recommend certain places that are good starting points and feel comfortable if you're a little bit nervous about making a big leap outside of the country of your current living situation.
So, yeah. And John, I just want to thank you for being such a good sport.
Well, I'm more than happy to come back anytime.
To pick your brain over this podcast.
Anytime, Karen.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to be back on your show. It's a great show.
Okay, great.
It's fantastic. So I really do like
it. Again, thank you so much for your time. It's been really, really great.
I listen to every episode.
Yeah.
I haven't missed one yet.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You may be my biggest fan.
I am. I'm pretty sure that I am.
Potentially my only fan. No. But again, I want to thank you, John, for your time and your attention and really appreciate it.
So if you like what you heard, give us a big old 5-star rating, like us, share with your family and friends, and start thinking about what you can be doing to plan, ponder, consider, make twists and changes in your life that could lead you down the path. And if there's a way that we can help you make that decision to, you know, consider a work from anywhere lifestyle, bam, we're here for you, man. Karen, do you feel it?
Oh, I totally feel it.